You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Very fascinating, considering how popular worship music is. So popular that a network, radio network, all the way across, or everywhere across the country, which I really liked. They played a little more upbeat Christian music, but they switched over. They're all worship music. And we have quite a bit of worship music on Sunday morning, which kind of makes sense, right? But worship music is really huge. I mean, most of our, I was just thinking about 20 years ago compared to now. It's just almost every other song is like worship groups and worship type music is huge. But sometimes we tend to think that worship is music and it's an act that we do listening to music in a church or in the car or something like that. But everything you do every day is worship, right? What did Paul write to the church in Rome back in the day? Hence to us, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Not as dead, you're not offering as your living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's your spiritual act of worship. That's what he said. So everything you do every day, believe it or not, is worship. That's pretty amazing. And you know what? All of that is possible because Jesus was raised from the dead.
The Sound of Life.
A lot of greenery around. A lot of grass here at the station is very green. Some places just very noticeably green. It's hard to believe how fast things change. The buds come out and stuff really this time of the year. From here to the middle of May, woo, starts changing really fast. Very exciting, I think. Even on rainy days, pretty amazing. I'll tell you what's exciting. Today's the day right here. The American classic. Ain't nobody doesn't like grilled cheese. Is it just an American thing? I don't know. Love grilled cheese. What do we used to do? Put a little relish on there, you know, besides, you know, buttering the thing. You do grill it, right? It's the reason it's called a grilled cheese. The thing is so funny, right? And it's really interesting because it is absolutely true that that is probably that there's two things that kindergarten has in line with college. You're looking forward to naps and grilled cheese, right?
This is all some kind of whacked out conspiracy.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
You make my drive to work so worth having. Thank you for the entertainment, the music, the love, the blessings.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show, the Sound of Life.
This is kind of astounding. I never thought I would be talking about that. But I found out over the weekend something astounding. Now, I will say, and you probably realize this, I don't keep up with rappers, okay? And especially the ones that are in the culture. Very few, and I just know their names. I had seen the name, or the moniker, DMX, before, but Friday, he passed away. It was last Friday. Died at the age of 50 following a heart attack that put him on life support for a week. Now, many in the media will note his musical accomplishments and the troubled life he led as a result. It should be remembered that DMX was an out-and-out proud Christian who always returned to God. In 2020, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, he led an online Bible study where he called on his followers to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. At the time, the Rough Riders singer led over 14,000 viewers on a study of verses from Ecclesiastes, primarily chapter 3, verses 1 and 8, that focus on the changing seasons. At times, the rapper would deliver sermons about him being, quote, God's child, and the need to have wisdom in times of uncertainty. He said, "The word says my people perish for lack of knowledge. Perish, not always dying. It's being lost, not being found, not being able to be found," he said. God is giving you the time. He's giving you the time to get closer to him, to become familiar with him. This is, I'm quoting the rapper DMX, passed away Friday. On keeping the faith during this pandemic, he said to lean on God's will and not try to decipher it too intensely. He's got a good point here. He said, at the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, it's going to be God's will. If you try to understand why he does what he does, you're just going to end up with a headache. This is very true. Just do the right thing. It's pretty good advice. Philip posted and tweeted out, who knew that DMX reading the Bible was exactly what I needed right now? Wow, what an influence, huh?
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
I love the Cup of Joe Morning Show because it gets me going in the morning at 6 o'clock, and he's the one that gets me moving, and he's just so energetic.
The Sound of Life.
I like the thought from Melanie there about life is so short. We spend so much time sweating the small stuff, don't we? Worrying, complaining, gossiping, comparing, wishing, wanting, waiting for something bigger and better instead of focusing on all the simple blessings that surround us every day. Life is so fragile, and all it takes is a single moment to change everything you take for granted. Focus on what's important and be grateful. You are blessed. Believe it. Live your life and leave no regrets. Thank you, Melanie.
The Sound of Life.
Well, a couple did start right here because they wanted to see something done. You know, it's such a massive problem. I'm sure when you looked into it, it must be incredibly daunting, and maybe you feel that way too. And this past year, with shutdowns and unforeseen difficulties with the coronavirus all over the world, really, the one industry that really picked up steam, well, they say the black markets, anything that's sold underground, the black drugs, guns, anything underground just boomed, including the sale of people. Yeah, that happens. Still happening. A big time. I mean, it's a gut punch in the gut. It's gut wrenching. But as I said, this team and this effort started basically by Nick and Christine Kane. And they founded a very simple organization. Well, they founded an organization with a very simple name, A21. And A21, they don't stop. You said injustice doesn't stop, and therefore we don't stop. And they sent out a little freedom report. Maybe you got it. You know, because over the years we've been talking about A21's incredible stories. They welcomed 302 survivors into their care in 2020. Very difficult to get survivors. That's a big deal. Over 70 survivors in A21's care secured jobs despite the many challenges. 125,000 people across 71 countries were mobilized to take action through the Global Freedom Summit. And they opened a new Freedom Center in Cape Town, South Africa, and secured funding for a second center in the United States. Typical of what happens. You've got a mom, single mom, got a 15-year-old, really struggling, try to make it, right? Committed to that life, that child of hers. And so she sees an opportunity. She, say, lives in Europe somewhere. She sees an opportunity, but it's in another country. But it's a relatively short flight away. She's supposed to go there and meet. The money will be phenomenal. They can use that. It'll be very good. He can take care of himself. I'll go. We'll do the best we can. We'll take it from there. So she lands there, meets the person, turns out it's a trap. They take everything away from her. She doesn't know where she is. She has no identification, no money whatsoever. She's just working for someone, it could be just menial task. But that's kind of how people get trapped. Then there's other different ways as well, too, but there's a lot of it going on. So God bless Nick and Christine Kane there for their efforts in doing and you know, I mean, it's a tremendous thing. I mean, when you look at the figures, it's just overwhelming almost. It's absolutely incredible. So, support at a21.org. That is their email. If you got any questions about that, support at a21.org.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
I say start small and work up. Now try again, boy. Kids nowadays know it all.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
We always pick on homeschoolers, and I blame Tim Hawkins because he was so funny picking on homeschoolers. And, you know, to celebrate International Moment of Laughter Day, knock, knock. Who's there? Radio. Radio who? Radio or not? Here I come. Whoa! Okay, Tim Hawkins, his ode to homeschoolers. Do not feel bad if your kids are going to go to a public school. He gives you a tip of the hat as well, too, and explains everything as only Tim Hawkins can do in a moment of laughter here on Cup of Joe Morning Show.
No, I was not homeschooled, but my wife and I, we have four kids. and we do homeschool them. And it's not that we don't like public school. It's just that we're lazy. We don't want to get up early and take them. That's really the reason. And I'm not really the teacher. I'm more of like the enforcer, the principal, you know. Like honey, I'm going to Starbucks. Call me when they need a whooping, okay? I'm going to go get a latte. Because I tried to teach at home, and I'm not very good. I'm just not, you know. Like, oh, kid, honey, why don't you make daddy a sandwich? I'll give you home ec points. I don't know. Hey, kids, pop quiz. Help daddy find his wallet, okay? Hey, kids, we got a guest speaker. Name's Dora the Explorer. Go on in there. Daddy's going to go pay some bills.
Everything at home counts during homeschooling, doesn't it?
A great way to start your day.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The sound of life.
So I found out a fact, and it kind of, you know, I was thinking, yeah, that's kind of makes sense. It goes in line with how the media influences culture. Now, that it's kind of a good thing in a way, because Dr. Larry Poland 30 years ago realized that how many few actually, and that was 30 years ago. I still say that the whole entertainment industry is going to be owned by Sony and Westwood One pretty soon. All the media. And Sony started out, what, in Japan making popcorn makers or something. I don't know. It's interesting. But there are some really poignant examples in the media. And, of course, nowadays, you could just write volumes about. But they're very good at labeling things. And they always have been. You know, I found this out within the last couple of years. If I say Loch Ness Monster, that's the phrase that everybody knows, right? Loch Ness Monster. You get an image in your mind right away. The word monster was not used by the couple on the boat on the lake back over 100 years ago that saw whatever it was they saw in the water and then went and reported it to the newspaper. The newspaper is the one that used the word monster. It's interesting, isn't it? Kind of shaped what you thought you saw right there. There are a ton of other examples, but the one I'm going to give you, you're going to really hate me for this. And it really is interesting. If I said Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. You know that that is from the rhyme, the Humpty Dumpty rhyme. Did you know that in that rhyme, it never says that Humpty Dumpty was an egg. Never says it.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
So there is a Stand for Life, which is an organization, an event that happens during the 40-day period, I think I'm right about this, which is a lot of people observe up to Easter, coming up to Easter, of Lent, or it's one of the names for it. And so they pray. Basically, there are organized groups all over the country, all the world probably, but I know in this country, that specifically make a public stand and pray to end abortion. That is their theme of Stand for Life, pray to end abortion. 40-day life campaign in the spring of 2021. I just wanted to give you a little bit of a report on that. Okay, because many times you get daily tweets and notices about women who decided to, you know, they talked with them, they prayed with them. Maybe they went in the clinic, they came back out of the clinic. They said, I'm going to keep my baby, you know, or whatever. And their efforts this year, and you along with that, saved more than 500 preborn babies.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, really.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
You know what happens when you get in the middle of April? Say, this is why my father-in-law always like, on a nice day, maybe the 1st of April, you know, really nice weekend, we're bringing the chairs up out of the basement, you know, to put on the back deck. And he's like, no, it's too early. Got to wait till after Mother's Day, you know. This is why he's old school. He's still rooting for the Brooklyn Dodgers, speaking of Jackie Robinson coming there in 47. In 57, they moved to L.A., but he's still a Brooklyn Dodgers fan. Somebody ought to tell him they moved to Ebbets Field out to Los Angeles. Anyway, I got something good for you. This is from Lisa. In a society that has you counting money, pounds, calories, and steps, be a rebel. and count your blessings instead.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
Good morning, sunshine.
The sound of life.
So that's a funny story about granddad. Granddads, they're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful from every which way you look at them. He's he's always playing the European lottery, the Euro Millions, they call it. He's 80 years old, Dennis Fawcett. He normally uses his family birthdays for his weekly ticket. And you may be familiar with that, right? but he couldn't see because he forgot his glasses. The one time he went, he forgot his glasses. But, you know, I got to get the ticket. So he just went for a lucky dip instead. He said, and I quote, "turned out to be one of my best decisions ever." So he won. He didn't even know what numbers he was writing down. It's just very appropriate, I thought. And he couldn't pick his regular number, so he just did it. Him and his wife, Anne, are planning to make over their home and garden with the 116,000,124. That's euros. That's a couple hundred million dollars, I think. But he said they're going to give most of it to their families. It's pretty cool. He said, "We've had our time. It's theirs now. This money will help them more than us." People be in there like, did Grandpa forget his glasses? You can do my lottery ticket. Something like that.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rise and shine.
The sound of life.
That's where my favorite line from Jesus was. And I always forget who's he looked at. Mary, right? Martha? Okay. He said, "I am the resurrection." Because they were saying, "Well, I know that Lazarus will be raised on the day of resurrection." Boy, the smile on Jesus' face must have been unbelievable. "I am the resurrection, the life, and the truth. Anybody that comes to me will live forever." Pretty amazing. I butchered that whole thing. I just thought of it. I was thinking about Matthew West feeling a little bit nervous. Think he got a tough thing to do today. He was at the Grand Ole Opry, which is a whole incredible story how that got named and everything and put on. But he said he was performing. He said, "I forgot my own words." He said he may. I don't know if he did. I don't think he did. But he said, "I might forget the words to my own songs because in my mind, I've got country songs like I've got friends in low places." Matthew West, if you know him, that would be very true. That's very telling. I mean, you know, it's honest. It's an honest statement. He's sitting there thinking it. Right. Bob Smiley, always a comedian, was kind of worried about Matthew West. He said after his recent prolific stretch, you know, of successful songs on the radio, "I think it's been like 3 days since he put out a hit song. Can someone check on him, please?" You know, oh boy.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
I don't know everything, but I sure like to pretend I do when I'm on the radio. Hopefully things will go okay. Right now, Dick Van Dyke's got to be one of your favorites, and you probably remember him dancing on the rooftops in the incredible, timeless movie Mary Poppins back in the day. If you haven't seen that, that is absolute genius work right there. But I remember him living in New Rochelle there, working in New York City, living with Mary Tyler Moore right before she became a news person out in Minneapolis. It was way before that. And man, was that funny. He was just absolutely incredibly funny. Turns out he still dances. He loves to dance. And he loves to just go out and do things and to help people and stuff. He's 95 years old. And he has been caught doing all sorts of good deeds, really, for years. And he pretty much stays around his home there in Southern California. Last week, he showed up at Los Angeles Malibu Community Labor Exchange and began handing out cash to job seekers waiting in line outside the nonprofit. Wouldn't that be a treat for you? Man, oh man, that's something else. And you know what? I wonder how many of those people, like, you know, paid it forward themselves. It's very interesting. It's a very important part of his life for decades, really. He's known for spending over 20 years volunteering at L.A. Shelter, the Midnight Mission, it's called. He's also served as a spokesperson for the Cell Therapy Foundation. And the last time the good news relating to this Hollywood legend, it was to report he was dancing with his wife, Arlene Silver, in the most joyful music ever for bluegrass group Dust Bowl Revival. I'm sure any of these you can YouTube. I think. I mean, you give it a try and just see. Pretty amazing. And then there was the time he treated diners at a Santa Monica Denny's, sort of, to a spontaneous performance of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I guess he has an a cappella group, Fantastics, it's called, and he did that. I know I remember him doing that at some point. I've seen some clips that people put out there. They tweet out or Instagram out or whatever, you know. Amazing. The secret to aging gracefully, it seems, may just be taking a step out of Dick Van Dyke's shoes by giving to others and dancing and singing whenever we can. Well, that's, you know, that David danced before the Lord. It's and we always have been. It's a sign of thank you. Proof right there. You can watch Dick Van Dyke dancing in the department store. It's pretty cool. He once quipped that rule about having to act out one's age. I just don't buy it.
Totally.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are. You are.
The Sound of Life.
Hey, Lena Abujamra is talking about the impossible. She said impossible is like overrated. You know, some problems in our lives seem too big for us to fix. It almost feels like we're standing in front of the Red Sea, hoping it'll part. Or like we're looking at Jericho, wishing for the walls to come down. Or like we're feeling the heat of the flame, hoping we don't burn. Or like we're looking at the hungry mouth of a lion, praying he won't bite. Or like we're staring at a starving crowd of 5,000 with nothing but a couple of pieces of toast. Each of these circumstances sounds really ridiculous, right? Yet in each and every one of them, God showed up in a mighty way. He parted the Red Sea, dropped Jericho's walls. He protected three men from the fire, shut the mouths of lions, fed the starving crowd. I always picture him like, hold my sweet tea. Watch this, you know. You're facing a problem in your life, maybe. Maybe it seems too big. You all got problems, right? You all got varying degrees. We always categorize them. Again, it's just human nature. That's a new, I don't know, you know. But to God, you know. Don't forget, we serve a big God. There's nothing that he can't do. Impossible is where he often chooses to show up, okay? Think about impossible situations maybe that you're facing right now. Believe that God is able to deliver you, even where it looks impossible.
Okay. Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to my favorite morning show, the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Sparrows. Jesus used that illustration, right? Yeah. He said, well, you know, sparrows. And I guess they sold for pennies back in the day. All right. So, and he said, you know, God knows when each one of those, it's unfathomable, isn't it? God knows when each one of those hits the ground. And so, don't you think he'd care more for you? Jesus used very practical examples. I think one of the funniest was one time he was trying to explain how God loves you and will answer you and stuff. He said, using that, remember that woman that was coming and petitioning the judge? And she just petitioned him over and over and over again. And then finally the judge, he was just like wanting to get rid of her. I thought that was really interesting. I mean, how human nature is that, right? You were just like, no matter who you were, no matter how wrong it was, it seems like, it was just like, all right, whatever you want. No, I can't do this anymore. It's interesting. I just think it's kind of funny sometimes. Right here on the, it was on the door of the studio, but I moved it over to the bulletin board. It's a picture of Jesus, not a photograph, obviously. But it's interesting how people get hung up on what he looked like. And it's very, God was very purposeful making it so that you would not know exactly what he looked like. He just blended in where he was, right? That's what it says. His features were that nobody would really look at him. It's very interesting. But he's laughing just like you had told a knock-knock joke or something. I mean, just one of those where you catch him off guard and he's just laughing kind of to relieve the stress of the day. And it's interesting when we think about Jesus as a human being, as a man. I was thinking over Easter, obviously, because what he endured for you and me. But I thought just coming to the earth, when you see his home and what he left to come here. And just think about that. I mean, it just, it blows your mind. Those of us who have a, we have a hard time just driving on the other side of town, you know. And he came into this non-reality, this created earth thing. Now, there have been some wonderful pastors over the years have been trying to explain that really what God has created for you, that's the real, that's what's really reality. We like to think this is reality. Now we're going to some mystical, cloudy place that's got to be better than it, you know. But that's what's for real. Anyway.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
So yesterday afternoon, I got home, and now I was standing outside a little bit in the drizzle talking to Ryan, the engineer. He's an electrician. Well, he could do anything he wants to my house. He could do whatever he wants. It was really amazing. So we're standing out there talking. So I got a little colder than I would have been normally if I'd gone inside, you know. So I made some hot chocolate. My wife was like, I messaged her, you know, showed her a picture of a cup of hot chocolate with whipped cream on. She's like, what is that? So today, thanks for the gift of hot cocoa bomb. It is all the rage now, I understand, right? The hot cocoa bombs, you put them in milk, place the bomb in a mug or cup, slowly pour 8 to 12 ounces of hot milk over the bomb. Stir well. It's from Sweet Attic Bakery, which I think is in Southern California because the people that send it to me are in Southern California, and they're always picking on us about the weather. White Cocoa Mocha, Ambassador Advertising. They're known for their white cocoa. They're a wonderful organization that started, I think, back in the 1800s. No, they started a long time ago, but they're in between. They match up ministries with media like us here, you know. So a lot of the features that you hear here are through them. You know, they have them come in the studio or somehow get it. It's a really cool thing that they do. And they're really sweet people. They really are. And it's amazing to work with some really sweet, amazing people. And I always blame the weather in California, right? Isn't that what you do? Right?
Totally. Okay.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You're as funny as a cry for help.
The sound of life.
You have a big part in this ministry. I always call it paying the light bill. You know, I mean, somebody like Amanda, who made a gift this past, she lives in Sparrow Bush. She made a gift and she said, when my mom was diagnosed with cancer last February, I was tempted to harden my heart. Each morning I listened to the sound of life on my hour commute to work. Through the station, I feel the Lord washing his love over me. I'm so thankful for this, and we're thankful for your life, thankful for what God can do, and the realization that, yes, he does care for you just as much as he cared for the Apostle Paul or Joseph or Noah. You know, it was a great country song, and I just so tempted to play it, and it was by a man who probably lives in Nashville. I don't know. Anyway, he was traveling, him and his wife traveling back to Kentucky to their home. I guess one of his uncles had passed away. And, you know, as far as he knew, he didn't know the Lord. And they were kind of sad. That's very sad, driving back, you know, because these guys were evangelists. They tell everybody in the family, you know, when he was a holdout and they got there and somebody told them, he said, he accepted Christ before he passed. And he wrote the song, and he said, and the song is kind of clever, you know. It doesn't matter when you come. You can come in the noonday sun. A lot of people do. Some people come by the light of the moon. It doesn't matter. You're just as welcome as the Apostle Paul or anybody in heaven. So be encouraged on that.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.